Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, around 10, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has been fired as North Melbourne's interchange steward. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Yet again, I have covered myself in disgrace. I've just, you know, and the good thing is in this AFL industry, like so many people have shown, is that they're willing to give you another go.
Everyone,
no matter, with all the discretions I've had in my past, every team just goes, you know what, Rosie, we love what you do. Mm-hmm. We love what you bring to the club. Get on down here.
You are slipping down the ladder, though, I must say. Like,
true.
I imagine interchange should is an entry-level position as opposed to some of the more high-profile positions you've held in the past.
Yeah, that's true. No one ever says we're going to have a review all the way down to the interchange steward, do they? They stop at the boot stutter and there's the interchange steward going, I believe so. I believe I kept the rotations going here, guys. What's going on with me?
Because I was going to say, I can't imagine it's a particularly difficult job, but I think the events of the weekend showed it's actually a particularly difficult job that you can severely fuck up.
Yeah, well, for the first time, I think, as long as we can remember that these interchange rotations have been brought in, this was the first time. Now, I knew that North Melbourne were getting close. I saw them when they got to 70 and they were up. Like, no one had predicted them to beat Sydney down here.
Nope.
Clarko had just stepped away. Brett Ratton had just taken over.
Yep.
So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a huge... They certainly weren't in anyone's favourite. And I thought that they'd fight out the game, but I had in my junk bet multi,
had
the Swans by 3 points.
Uh-huh.
Now, I could see the time left on the clock and the rotations getting to that point, and I was like, how the fuck are the Swans going to manufacture a win out of this? I mean, they got a fucking 80-year-old in the goal square. He's kicked a couple of goals, but fuck, he's no chance. It's deep in the last quarter. The guy's cooked. He's just standing there, just getting to his, you know, he's fucking 400th game.
Yep. He's looking through. He's super.
Yeah. So I started calling, and this is very rare for an interchange steward. I started calling players off the ground.
Uh-huh.
So we got up to 72, 73, and then when we hit 74, I was like, I'm going to keep this really quiet. I'm not going to fucking tell anyone.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, Shieldsy, get off. You're looking like you're hurt. And I think I called Will Phillips or one of those fucking new guys off the ground. I don't even know their names. They're just fucking numbers to me, mate. And I called him off, and thankfully, and I told Dane Rampey, I was like, mate, I'll cut you in if you make a fucking big deal of this on the bench. And he did. He went ballistic. And so we won a shit ton of money, and... you know, the Swans got up by 3 points in a fantastic victory for the Swans. Well earned.
Now, I can't remember this limit being reached before. Can you?
I reckon if a team has maxed it out, they've done it to 75 and they've never gone above it. I don't recall a free kick ever being paid for this.
Because we have had free kicks in the past for, like, interchange errors, I suppose, in terms of, like, you know, that thing where it was, like, 19 men on the ground for a moment.
Yes.
And then you got like
Like they haven't quite got it. Because wasn't it a few years ago? What was the big furor that they brought in re the interchange? Was that like you had to alert the AFL official that someone was coming off before someone else could go on? Remember that?
Maybe you might be right. Yeah. But wasn't there a big kerfuffle just by the fact there was one player on the ground for like 5 seconds and then like they brought in like the line behind the boundary and
yes,
they got
I think
much
so.
More committed to it and brought in the free kick and all that kind of jazz and
yeah.
So yeah, okay. But also Adam, now we like to say this a lot, but you don't want to see a grand final being decided like that.
No, and I agree with that, but the fortunate thing there is North Melbourne will not be in a grand final
yep.
for quite some time. So they have no reason to stress about it. But I reckon in a grand final... See, the thing that I found really surprising is that how did the North Melbourne bench not know? Like,
yeah.
Does someone not come over to them and go, oi, 75, mate, you fucking reached your cap. Well, stop there, get him off, don't let him come off. What are you doing?
Well, there was something I read in the paper the other day that they have an app as such, like probably on an iPad or something,
yep.
And the app will change colour when you reach to 75. So it goes from red to black or something when you get to 75. So you have a visual warning. And then I imagine the interchange people weren't calling for players to come off, but they were just coming off and they eventually kind of triggered the number. Then and also on top of that, if I do 76, right, and they give a free kick, and then do I just give a free kick every time you do it again? So could I get more players on the ground? Like, have the best player on the bench, get them on the ground. All I do is give away a free kick, but I've got my best player on the ground.
Okay. Great question without notice. I'm not sure as to whether or not, say you come off and that's number 76, that we have to put you back on the field then to take it back down to technically what it would have been when it was 75 and you weren't actually allowed off the ground.
Okay. We're getting into, anyway. Well, the point is what I'm trying to say was that if that happened in a grand final, now we don't know the identity of this interchange steward, but I'm sure they feel pretty bad and people were probably trying to...
I don't think they feel bad enough.
Well, I think people are thinking probably trying to get around them and kind of go, oh, mate, it wasn't your fault, you know. But when they kind of deep down inside, I think in this situation, you can literally go, the loss is entirely your fault, mate. It's entirely your fault.
At least if you're going to fuck up with the interchange, do it when it's in our back line.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it when it's in our forward line. Don't do it when it's in, our back line that deep right next to goal. And the 50-metre penalty, fuck, that hurt.
So also, on top of that, if it happened in a grand final and that's decided just like it was on the weekend, how quickly do you think that interchange steward goes into witness protection?
Very. Like before the game is ended, basically.
Immediately, like the AFP would come in and just usher you off the ground through a tunnel and you would immediately get plastic surgery to change your identity and you'd be shipped off to Brazil. Immediately.
You would never even know who the Norm Smith was in that game because they would block you from all access to AFL websites. You take on a new life. You're in Nicaragua. They move you up from Brazil and they just go, mate, you're safer here. This is a hostile country, but fuck, if people find out you're an interchange steward, mate, you're a dead man.
You better hope there are no AFL fans in Nicaragua. They'd have a little league down here, and they had a bigger club function watching the match overnight, got up at 3 a.m. to watch it. Then they find out that you're the bloke living down the road from them.
Yeah, you better not. You better hope that the Juarez cartel has not bet heavily on this particular grand final, and we've accidentally moved you just next door to them.
You've got to learn in the local language. The number one for the police, and then B, the phrase "I have a neck bomb currently around my neck."
So I think North should be punished going forward. Like, I know they lost the game, but say that happened in their forward line and they still got up and won. I think that for the next game, you get like 10 rotations for the game. So that is on you as to when you've got to use them.
Yep. I'm trying to think, didn't they bring it down to 40 at one stage? Is that right, or am I making that up? Or was it like
you're making that up? Yeah, you've lost your mind.
Okay. Or maybe it was it limit for a quarter, maybe like a certain amount of quarter, 20 a quarter or something? Or am I making that up?
Yeah,
well?
I reckon you might be right. I reckon they might have been capped at a quarter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Hey, big news about Dimmer, man. No, I don't think anyone expected that one on the cards.
So Richmond coach Damien Hardwick has stepped away, like immediately too. Like he hasn't even said, I'll coach out the season. He's just gone, you know what? I'm fucking cooked. They lost to Essendon in the Dreamtime game on Saturday night in a really tight one. It was kind of one of those ones where it was sort of like make or break for their season. They were leading. They lost late. And he just went, you know what? I can't be fucked.
Yeah, I think it's that.
And who amongst us, and how good, like for anyone listening, Junk Times, and we've all been there, how nice would it be to be able to have the money behind you to be just rock up to work one day and just go, you know what?
Yeah.
You walk into the boss's office, you go, you know what? I can't be fucked.
Because also on top of that, I think he's giving away like a year and a half worth of money as well. Which is going to be a large amount. So Dimmer clearly is doing very well.
Very well. But how nice would it have been, when he rang Brendan Gale on Sunday night and he's like, can you come over for a beer? And then they had a beer together. He goes, mate, I'm fucking not doing it anymore. Just the fucking joy. Like, you know, Brendan Gale's having one can. Dimmer's on his ninth. He's got the medicinal marijuana around. He's just like, I'm like, fucking, come on in. I'm all right, Benny, mate. Three Prem puts a 2020 COVID premiership on the telly to watch, and Brendan's trying to talk to him. He's like, mate, look at this bit. We're fucking dusty. He goes ballistic. I told him to do that.
Yeah, the weight off your chest would be enormous. But I think that also the weight off your chest when you get sacked would be enormous as well. Just that build-up of, because, you know, before they kind of get sacked, there's like, you know, a month worth of the press writing articles about, yeah, you got to get asked all these questions. I mean, Terry Wallace talked about his kid at school. Like, one of the teachers came up to him in a swim sports and said, when's your dad going to get sacked? Like, like quite brutal shit. So I think the relief, and also knowing that you're most likely going to get a large payout as well. To not have to work. But yeah, I mean, Dimmer was, apart from getting a bit emotional at some stages of the press conference, it was a bit of a comedy routine in the end.
Well, you know what he was doing there is he's just working out his sporties. He is just saying to people, I can be funny. If you need someone on a Saturday night at a local footy club for cash, a little bit of cash on the side, I've coached three premierships.
Yeah.
You know, I've played in two.
Yeah.
If you need, you know, from, you got 20, 25 years worth of gear here. Well, I'm fucking ready to go.
Well, it's dropped a little hint for if we need someone for a live show, maybe later in the year, Adam.
Here we go.
Hey, little guest.
It's not bad. Have some fucking corn chips on the stage for him in case he gets a little fucking hungry up there.
Can we get him to bring the medicinal marijuana? Am I allowed to have Dimmer's medicinal marijuana, or is it a prescription kind of thing? You can't share it around.
I mean, I would say technically no, but also... yes.
What if we pay him in medicinal marijuana so he can avoid the stress and strain of the tax man?
That is a very good point, yes.
But no lap of honour. That's what he said. I don't need a lap of honour. I kind of like it when they go clean by the fact that, you know, you don't want to make it... Well, I imagine most coaches are like, I don't want to make it about me. I don't want to be chaired off. There's work to be done, all that kind of jazz. I kind of like it when they go, you know, bing, it's done.
Well, also too, like, are the players listening to you once you've fucking said, I can't be fucked anymore?
Yeah.
And then you go to the players, I want you to go out there, like, fuck off, mate. Well, you're not making the decisions for next year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
Well, that was like, again, with Terry Wallace, again, another story about Plough. But back in the day when he left the Bulldogs and they were like, he hung around for a few weeks, then the players were like, nah, I reckon you can go, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so who do you reckon is potentially going to be the coach for Richmond?
Well, they've all ran over to Nathan Buckley yesterday, and he said no. Yeah.
And of course Buck said no. Yeah. He looks the happiest he's ever been since he's been in football. You know, he's getting paid really well. He does Fox footy, he does SEN, he gets the kickback. He works, what, say, 4 days a week?
Yep.
Maybe Friday to Monday, maybe a Tuesday in there?
Yep. Crazy hours, yeah.
Fucking oath.
He's got a lovely beauty, what would you call it, cosmetic... injectables girlfriend.
Injectables.
Yeah, she's like in that Botox-y kind of world.
Yes. You make it sound like edibles, injectables, all the same things.
Because I didn't know this. I had a friend talking to me yesterday. She gets Botox to help with migraines. So she gets them done, gets a bit done kind of on the side of her head and then a bit at the top of her head, like where your hairline kind of meets. And it does kind of help out a little bit with kind of wrinkle on the forehead. But it actually is mainly a migraine thing, which I found quite fascinating.
Maybe I get migraines. Maybe I'll next time I'm at the live show, I'll look like I'm 27.
Yeah. And get your lips done too. And maybe an eye lift as well.
Can't hurt. It hasn't hurt Sam Newman. You can barely tell.
Who are the people of recent times the people are saying Stewie Jew might be under fire if Dimmer wants his job.
Yep.
But I can't imagine Dimmer going to a job next year. I feel like you need a bit of time to kind of, just take the time off, you know?
Mate, I'm with you. Like, the moment that I have time off, the last thing I want to do is go back into work. Mm. So even like, you know, you come back from holidays and you see that you got to go back to work on the Monday, you're like, fuck that, I should have come back on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know when you come back from a holiday and then you got to go back to work the next day? That is a fucking living nightmare.
Yeah, for sure. I remember even as a kid, like I hated Sundays just by the fact that it was like the day before you had to go back to school and you had like your homework and shit that you'd piled up because you were like, maybe I just want to live my life and have fun because I'm a fucking kid.
Yeah. Maybe I want to throw rocks at a train and not think about fucking Macbeth.
Yeah, maybe I just want to, you know, mug people for their Michael Jordan shoes.
Exactly. Maybe I'm fucking a little bit high on Nangs to be able to work out trigonometry.
Maybe I just want to do my tag on the last carriage of a train.
Exactly. Maybe I want to set off the boom gates by putting a coin down on the train tracks and stomping on that. Maybe I want to do that.
Maybe I just want to go to McDonald's and just try and find get as many items as I can possibly get for $3. Yes, I do want 7 ice creams. Thank you.
Yes, I'm allowed to.
Who are recent kind of people who've been ousted? I was about to say Clarko, but no, he's got a job. I'm looking through.
Well, I suppose the most recent one who you know, you say that coaches could kind of see the writing on the wall was Brett Ratten.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they did the old switcheroo on him. They went, "Ah, mate, sign this 2-year contract. You're gone."
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, actually, Adam Simpson's probably one under fire now at the minute. But at the same time, like, you know, half is probably his fault. Half is the fact that, you know, 17 players are out with gout, you know.
Yeah, like, no, they're doing it tough. I was watching The Couch on Monday night, on The Couch,
yep.
And John Ralph was talking about if they wanted to get rid of Adam Simpson, I think it'd cost them like maybe $1.6 million.
Yeah, sure.
Like that's to pay out his contract because he's contracted till the end of next year.
Yep.
And he said that the soft cap tax is 200%. So if they sack him, they have to pay him that and then pay tax of $3 million on top of that.
Dude.
And he said it's okay because West Coast can afford it. Not many other clubs can.
Yep.
But 200%? What the fuck is that tax? Where did that come from?
A fucking evil genius thought that up as well.
I know.
That's quite remarkable. Anyway, he'll go. We're calling it now. Dimmer to the Eagles. How old are Dimmer's kids? Because it's the kind of thing when they talk about the Gold Coast or they talk about Perth. You got to wonder about, you know, taking, well, are the kids going to go with him or like that situation as well? So I feel like they're teenage-y. I don't think they're adult yet.
Well, I mean, they said
well,
the report
filmed TikTok with a daughter, I think.
Okay, he's 50, so they'd have to be mid to late teens, you would have thought.
Yeah, sure. Then I'm just looking through the list of teams. Like, actually, your mate heard a whisper.
Oh, yeah.
Your mate the other day goes by the name of Brendan Favola.
Mm.
And he must have been on radio or something. But
Jungle Drums?
Sorry, man?
Jungle Drums?
Yeah, the Jungle Drums are definitely beating for Fev.
Fuck.
He has said in this article here about... He's been hearing a few whispers.
Mm.
He said, I think that there is one spot that he may be coaching. And I don't want this to necessarily happen. But the Carlton Football Club have been struggling. And he did say, I may have a little knowledge that maybe some high Carlton people have got wind and reached out to Hardwick to see where he's at. It's not just me thinking this. So you heard it first from Vent Brendan Favola, who is the best newsbreaker in the game, as I've always thought.
He's up there. You know what I love, though? The Dimmer finishes up and Jeff Kennett. The man who people always go to when, you know, the big news breaks, just to see what Jeff's got to say about stuff. And
it's very strange that, because even the other day, like, he came out and said that we spend too much on state funerals and say they should only be for public servants. So he was saying, you know, they spend about $1 million on Shane Warne's. And he was like, you know, that's not on. It should be for, you know, public servants. But also, like, I couldn't work out the logic or the leap. I suppose the article came out in the age of, like, okay, probably freedom of information, what do we spend on state funerals?
Yeah.
But then the logic leap of going like, okay, I'm a journalist, I've seen that article in The Age, I've got to do a story for the 6 p.m. news. Who do I call first? And it's like, oh, obviously, I call Jeff Kennett. Like, I would have thought you'd call, like, wouldn't you call, like, someone who works for, like, White Lady Funerals or something?
Well, I guess maybe because he's an ex-premier that they go, I wonder how many he had on his watch.
Yeah, sure. He had one for Ted Whitten that he said he was kind of tricked into.
Really?
So
Teddy wasn't dead?
No. he said it was along the lines of, A, he said, I don't want one himself.
Yep.
And it's like, come on, Jeff, you know, as they say, you know, at a funeral, you know, a packed funeral, and you go, oh, gee, why are there so many people here? Well, you go, well, you give the people what they want.
Yep.
But the Ted Whitten one, I think he said that someone who pretended to be Jeff's staff called up either the radio or the family, the Whitten family, and said they were going to get a state funeral. And so then they were put in a position where Jeff was like, well, it sounds like now that we've offered a state funeral, and we can't really take back a state funeral. But initially, his idea was to not have a state funeral for Ted Whitten, but yeah. then kind of had to kind of got forced into a corner and had to do it in the end.
You know what? I mean, I've got a little bit of I've got a bit of a beef with the state funeral. Oh, I don't feel it's for the whole state. Like, if you're gonna fucking have a state funeral, like you take the body around the state. Like Queen Elizabeth, fucking did. She did a tour of the UK. Like she was the United Kingdom. They fucking drove her around. Like I don't feel like the people out in the Wimmera are getting their fucking their eyes on this state funeral. You know, they've got to come to Melbourne rather than them bringing the funeral to them.
So like a Ted Whitten kind of thing, like he should, you know, go drive around the streets and if you kind of put in an order, they stop the car at the front of the house.
Yes, yeah. A lot of little kids who can't get to Melbourne by themselves, they get Teddy Whitten comes down their street. Were you there the day that Ted Whitten's hearse came down the street? What an honour.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that kids love hearse. Like they love fire trucks, they love police trucks, you know, racing by. They love hearse. Yeah. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, you might have to play some green sleeves as a hearse is driving past.
But that's part of the experience.
They'll come out and they'll check it out.
You ever got an ice cream cone out of a hearse? It's a fun thing. It's fun. It's fun.
It messes with your head a little bit, but it's a fun thing. So Jeff Kennett.
You might have a few dreams about it when you're an adult. Yeah. That's okay.
So Jeff Kennett put out a tweet about Damien Hardwick, and in amongst the tweet he said, by calling time on himself when he felt necessary, with his reputation intact and saluted by all in the industry, his legacy only enhanced. Wow. Shot across the bow. Did you see that, Clarko?
Wow. That is awesome. They might as well just said, Dimmer's out. Fuck you, Clarko.
And then Luke Hodges come out and gone, well, anyone with half a brain could realise he was having a dig at Clarko, which says, because obviously Hodgie has about half a brain.
It's a very
and if he picked it up, it's like, oh, come on, mate.
It's a very Trump kind of tweet, because Trump is, you know, famous for saying, you know, Happy Mother's Day. Except to all the losers, the haters, the lefties trying to destroy our country. And it's like, okay, that took a turn pretty quickly. Hey, yeah, why don't we put that depressing story behind us? You know, Dimmer, farewell. We wish you well in the future. But why don't we turn into some good news, mate? Something to look forward to, okay? Because the football world is very negative. It's very negative. The negative Nellies out there on TV shows and radio. But something to look forward to. I'd actually put this as the event of the year. Fuck your coronations. This is the event of the year. Warwick Kappa's 60th birthday, okay? Now, we talked about it a few weeks ago, but there's been
the
a bit
Pier
of change.
Hotel sometime in July. We haven't worked out the date as yet, but as I read somewhere else, it was going to be a joint 60th birthday party. So I think, because remember Wayne Carey was going to be there.
Sam Newman?
Absolutely, of course. Brian Mannix, all the greats.
You'd imagine Mick Gatto would show up at some stage, surely.
Yeah, that is a very good point. Why wouldn't he? He just he loves a birthday party. But what I didn't realise, that it was a joint 60th birthday party with The Wiz, Warwick Kappa, and Ricky the Chicken Nixon.
Yeah. Now, I don't remember that in the initial article.
I don't believe it was there. I think he might have mentioned that, you know, because it was all, well, unbelievably, it was all about Warwick, and he may have said that, you know, some of these people are coming. Now, we have gotten an update on that party. Now, I didn't realise this, but somehow on my Facebook, I am friends with the Chicken.
Really?
Ricky the Toot Toot Nixon. Yeah, I don't know how, I don't know when.
Now, that would have to be.
But we
are
buddies.
Would that have been you joking, kind of trying to be friends with him? Or do you think that was him asking you to be friends?
Yeah, mate, I genuinely can't remember it, but it would have been one of those things where it's like, do you know this person? And then you just click on yes, you know.
Because I actually saw something, story this week, that Facebook had a glitch in recent times.
Oh, fuck, that was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't know the story, people, Junk Time is out there. Facebook had a glitch. I don't know for how long or if it was for everyone or just like random few people. But
this is what nightmares are made of.
Yeah, if you're face stalking someone's page, it would automatically send them a friend request.
Yeah.
So Facebook said they fixed the glitch and they've deleted those requests. But I reckon it's probably, even just saying it out loud, has sent a shudder through the hearts of many people listening to the show right now.
Yeah, just that person in high school that you had a bit of a crush on. You're like, oh, I wonder what they're up to now.
Yeah.
Friend request. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh. I have a friend who She said she literally looked at her ex-partner's girlfriend's page. And then a thing came through, kind of friend request accepted. And she was like, I didn't send one.
Fucking hell.
And also on top of that, she doesn't know the person at all. Like, does not know that person.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So she's not even sure if, like, that person knows the former, you know, relationship with the bloke. Yeah. But she's like, okay, I'm gonna join the interchange Stuart in Nicaragua right now.
Yeah, so I'm heading off. So, Ricky Nixon had this update on his page today. So he said, "My 60th will now be my own party with my own friends and family, after someone's idea of a joint party involved pics of him everywhere, plus red and white balloons, plus 80% of invites from him, and all about him." Reckons Women's Day is sponsoring to the tune of 10K. So obviously Women's Day, going to get their exclusive photos of the event. And Herald Sun have a VIP table. And Rick Nixon says, no, they don't. And then he goes on to say, people are over Warwick. They think he's selfish and that he is just going to have his own party. So therefore, is it still, Michael, the party of the year if it's just... Okay. Or is it even better now that it's just solely Wiz?
Well, okay. I'll put it to you this way, okay? Mm. Do you want to go to a Warwick Kappa party or do you want to go to a Ricky Nixon party? Now, I'm picking the Wiz in a second. I reckon Ricky Nixon has just shot himself in the foot by the fact you can at least kind of ride the coattails of the Wiz. Like, you know, just be like, oh, yeah, it's my birthday too. And just kind of let Wiz, Warwick take the credit and all that kind of jazz. But I reckon a Ricky Nixon party... with three people, probably in the bakery that he lives above, maybe a complimentary cupcake. Like, I think I picture it like being dark and dingy and sad and just this bloated man there kind of on an electric scooter because he's got about 15 driving offences right now.
Well, I would say that it's probably better to have it with the Wiz, to have a joint party with the Wiz, just because when the cops inevitably arrive...
Uh-huh.
They're going to be drawn to the man in the leopard skin suit
with
and
his
the
shirt
white
off.
Shoes. Yeah, with his shirt off, you know. So I reckon that gives you enough time to make your escape.
Get out the back.
Yeah, before, you know, the Wiz is like, I love you like a brother.
I'm actually looking forward to that party, though. I reckon we should try and crash it.
We just need to find the date. That's the only thing. And you know, the good thing is because we've interviewed the Wiz and we can just, all you got to do, like we said last time, is just walk in with confidence.
Yeah.
White suit, white shoes, alligator skin. We're fucking in.
I do have his email and his phone number.
So you could just text him and be like, hey. You could be like, hey, what time's the party start? And are there presents?
Or I could, Wiz, sorry, lost the invite. Do you want to give me the details again and let me know what's the password and is it Fidelio?
I love it. We could be there.
Hey, yeah, you have a story about junior football.
Yeah, so how's this? So a mate of mine, his nephew is like under 10s and was playing in a recent game in the leafy inner eastern suburbs of Melbourne. And so after a game, I didn't realise that they make the kids do this, but once a game has finished, they all walk in a line and high-five each other and shake hands and be like, great game. And this little fella has taken it upon himself as he's gotten up to each opponent, as he's high-fiving them, has just gone, you're a dog, you're a dog. You're a dog. You're a dog. And it kind of got to the end and the parents, like they called him aside and like, you can't be calling everyone a dog. And he's like, but we lost. I didn't think it was a great game. And they're like, okay, mate. So it's good to know that the little junk timers are out there the future is strong.
We're helping the children of Australia one at a time. That's
exactly awesome.
Do they, I mean, I feel like they probably still do like the three cheers for the opposition and three cheers for the umpire.
I don't remember doing the three cheers for the opposition, but I do remember having to cheer the umpires, and that was always devastating.
I'm trying to think if we did three cheers for the... I feel like... I don't remember, like, in senior games, I don't remember much handshaking going on.
Pre-game?
Yeah, pre-game or post-game. But I feel like we might have done three cheers for the opposition and three cheers for the umpire.
Okay. I remember once after a really big loss in under 16s, our coach tried to get us just to, because we got absolutely pumped.
Yep.
And our coach was trying to keep our morale up, and he was like, let's sing the theme song. Everyone's like, oh, fuck off,
yeah,
mate.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and definitely like the three cheers for the umpire, whatever, and the opposition. Like, it's very dependent upon if you won or lost. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like three cheers to the umpire. Hip, hip, hip. Hey, guys, I know where he works. Hey, more good news, actually, after the Wiz and adventures. We got an email from Riley.
This is amazing.
It's fucking... Okay, the backstory. So you and I were obviously obsessed with many of the great... We're not only tremendous raconteurs, but we're men who like the finer things in life. I think it's fair to say. Since we had a long-term admiration of the footbridge at Adelaide Oval, and last year we were very lucky enough to actually see that LBW, that little bloody wonder in the flesh, and we actually recorded a podcast on the footbridge, which was a mighty... probably... one of the highlights of my life.
Yeah, no, I put it up there. But you're right about the finer things in life. Like us two can sit for hours talking about what is the best cut of curly whirly fry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we can blind taste test hundreds of versions of chicken salt, and we can tell you which one's which.
Absolutely. Like, we know if we're in a cinema, we can tell you how many dimensions there are.
Uh-huh.
And if it's not four, we know we're not on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Like, to put it this way, like, we've read the book or the short story that The Shawshank Redemption is based on. So we are men of finer things.
Yeah.
Now, we got obsessed with King Tut's putt-putt at the Gold Coast. And actually, during the football... so if you don't know, it was a Egyptian-themed... slash with some dinosaurs as well. Egyptian-themed mini golf course at the Gold Coast. And even though, tragically, neither of us got to play it because it shut down, I think last year it closed down, there was one stage where we were offering double passes from King Tut's putt-putt if there were any people on the Goldie when the players were in the bubble in 2020, if they spotted any players out and about. At the front of a kebab shop, getting in a fight near the Hollywood Showgirls, you know.
Yeah, all the fun things.
I mean, you had to be up at 3 in the morning to find them, but, you know, you could find them. Got this thing from Riley the other day. He said, I had a work event at Le Mans Go-Karts in Dandenong, and I walked in there, and to a huge surprise, once I got there, King Tut's putt-putt was purchased by Le Mans and was there in all its glory. I couldn't believe it. Full on, they bought it when King Tut's went bankrupt, and drove it down in trucks and set the whole thing up. King Tut lives on. That is fucking amazing news.
Fucking hell. And that is someone, you know what? They're just sitting there at Le Mans. It's just, they got their eye on it. They go, should we make another offer? They go, mate, just sit back, mate. Eventually, a dinosaur / pharaoh themed golf course is going to go bankrupt. Because they don't understand it up in the Gold Coast. But bring it down to Dandenong. And we'll fucking make this thing work.
I wonder what it would cost in that negotiation. You kind of go, look, mate, I'm giving you a good deal. Throw in the T-Rex for free and I'll shake hands on it. But yeah, so I looked up the website and it's genuinely there. So maybe they had like a bit of an extra storage in the go-kart. But you can go go-karting and you can go and play putt-putt. And you got fucking replica pharaoh memorabilia.
Mate, it's like being in ancient Egypt. Is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It has all the hallmarks of either a junk time Mad Monday or a junk time golf day, really.
Oh, yeah. But okay, let's just put it out there, junk times. Let's see if there's any people. And what would you do? We'd have a Saturday afternoon out there.
Yeah.
We'd, you know, put some beers on for you and you'd come out. We'd play a little bit of golf. Michael and I would tell some of our great footy night stories. And if there's any interest, let us know on our socials, which are?
Junk time. AFLpod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram.
And, you know, if we get enough interest, then we could hit up King Tut's putt-putt and see, you know, because we've got a long association with him back in the old days. So let's see if we can bring it into the modern times.
Well, that's the thing. We can get the owners of King Tut's to give us, you know, a reference. You know, these guys are cool.
Yeah, that's true.
They hit us out of the blue about 3 years ago. Yep. And for some reason, we gave them fucking bunch of double passes that was money out of our pocket, and yeah we're going bankrupt, and it was middle of a pandemic, and that was really, on reflection, was a really bad business decision, and I've lost my house, and my wife broke up with me, and I don't see my kids anymore, but yeah, no, they're good guys, Oh, Adam, we actually don't have any footballers in real life.
King Tut's putt-putt is enough good news for me, mate.
Yeah, sure, sure. Hey, we're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeAlphaPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. Big hooks.
And go Blues.
We're the toughest, we're the team we're gonna kill.
Listen up, guys, cause Richmond's here, and we're the only team that you should fear.
The black and gold ain't where it's at. The Blues are the team that'll knock them all flat.
Stop your boasting, the Saints have arrived. You'll all be sorry when we make the five.
Y'all may be tough, but have no fear. It's Collingwood's turn for the flag this year.